The Rams are back where they belong, where it all began in 1946. The last 20 years have been a bad dream. Now, it's time for the Ramble On Podcast. Here are your hosts, Steve Mason and Ryan Abraham.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Ramble On Podcast. I'm Steve Mason from ESPN LA 710. Of course, me and John Ireland every afternoon, noon to 3. Ryan Abraham is here, USCFootball.com and LARamsReport.com. And every week we dink in with some, I use that word, I made up that word. What do you think, Ryan?
I like that. We dink in there with some Ramble On podcasting. I love it.
Exactly. You can get Ryan at Inside Troy on Twitter, and me, I've changed. ESPN is trying to get me verified, get me a blue check mark. So they said my odds go way up, and they're working with me. So right now I'm at Steve Mason, ESPN. I'm making it very clear who I work for in my efforts to get a blue check mark.
I hope you get you one, Steve.
Thank you very much. It's a dream. It's a dream. And joining us right now is LA Rams beat writer for the LA Daily News, Vinny Bonsignore. Vinny, contrary to popular belief, you are or are not in the mafia. I'm not sure. Bonsignore.
The mafia, what is that? I've never watched. Oh, I don't know.
La Cosa Nostra is the eye, of course. We don't speak of it.
Keep that left unsaid, just in case anyone has any ideas out there. We'll leave that one, ambiguous.
I'm sure you're getting great information from the Rams using all of your connections. All right, so I guess the big news is that the Rams have settled into their temporary offices in Agora Hills, and they're all set up in Oxnard. You've got a chance to tour all that stuff. What's it all look like?
Well, in Oxnard, the practice field is coming along. In fact, when I was there on Monday, they were unloading tackling dummies and, all the sideline equipment, everything off these big trucks that came in from St. Louis, which is kind of ironic because when they left Los Angeles or Southern California, because they were in Anaheim at the time, they left via buses. And anyone who was there on that fateful day in 1994 when it happened, there were people who were literally crying and cussing them as the buses left. Now they're coming back via moving trucks and vans again. So it's kind of it was just a flip on it. We were cussing them on their way out, and we're greeting them with open arms on their way back in. But they were getting all that set up. The locker rooms are basically set up. The weight room is in place. They've got offices there in Oxnard where the football staff is going to be housed for the next 2 months. They're busy right now as we speak, working on the draft preparations. They'll be bringing in, each team gets 30 players that they can physically bring in to their facility for visit. So they've put together that list, and they're bringing guys in as we speak to interview them, talk to them, get to know them, work them out. I imagine there's going to be a few quarterbacks on that list. And wide receivers, those are their biggest draft needs. So they're here. The Rams are here, and it's pretty cool.
Hey, Vinny, so people should check out the column you wrote about that move. You're talking about that the 22-year gap. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way, at Daily News Vinny, V-I-N-N-Y. But there's also leaving some people behind, and you kind of mentioned that in the column, that not everyone could come to Los Angeles. There's families and things like that. I mean, the people you talked to, what did it sound like with the folks that couldn't come to Los Angeles?
Well, that was, I've said all along, there was an element of this whole situation that sucks for a lot of people, for the fans in St. Louis, unfortunately. And whether San Diego or Oakland feels that pain, eventually we'll find that out pretty soon. But yeah, there were 70 or so, football staff people made the move here to Los Angeles. But there were a good amount of people who stayed behind, for various reasons, the people that were longtime residents of St. Louis or St. Louis natives didn't want to make the trip. And I was talking to Roger Saffold, one of the Rams offensive linemen, on Monday, and he's like, that was a pretty bad scene, having to say goodbye a week or so ago in St. Louis, to the people that weren't going to be making the trip. And he said when he got here over the weekend, he was able to run into familiar faces in Oxnard, and it was a much better scene there, obviously. It was a much happier scene there than it was in St. Louis. But that is one of the aspects of the story that just, it's the human element that we don't often think about. But there are people who lost their jobs literally because of it.
Oxnard will be the where the OTAs are. And that's They spent some time in Oxnard last year. Are they still, what are the dates of OTAs? And then are they still sort of sharing that facility to some degree with the Cowboys, or how does that work?
Well, right now it's strictly Rams. It's all, if you go out there, there's a very big time Rams presence out there. All the colors, everything are Rams. They won't be sharing anything with the Cowboys. The Cowboys arrive for training camp later on in July. The Rams will be cleared out by the end of June. And then all teams take about a month or 3 weeks or so off. And then get back together for training camp in July. So right now it's strictly Rams. Then obviously they go to most likely anyway Irvine. That's still not 100% sure, but it's basically what the plan is, to go to Irvine for training camp late July to late August, and back to Ventura County in Thousand Oaks at Cal Lutheran University for their temporary headquarters and practice facility for the next 2 years. And then hopefully somewhere in that Ventura County, Thousand Oaks, Agoura Hills area, a permanent site to fill up. So they're going to be on their skates, and of course they're playing at the Coliseum, which is 63 miles or so away from all that. So they're going to get to know California pretty well. And it was funny talking to Jeff Fisher at the owners' meetings, and he's a native of Los Angeles, so he knows traffic, and he's been telling these guys, look, you know, you can't live in Manhattan Beach and work in Thousand Oaks. It's just a grind of a drive when we have to be here at certain times and be on a clock. So I think a lot of the guys are looking at the Calabasas area, Agoura Hills area. Saffold lives in Woodland Hills. He got a place in Woodland Hills, so that's a nice spot for him. But it's just really interesting to see how they're getting their feet wet, and they're just integrating themselves into the area after being away for 22 years.
Now, Agoura Hills, what's going on in Agoura Hills? Is that like a temporary site as well, or is that going to be permanent too?
Right now, it's temporary, and that's where the marketing, the season ticket, that end of the operation is going to be in Agoura Hills, and then the football side, all your coaches, all your scouts, all your personnel people, and of course the team and the training staff will be in Oxnard for the next couple of months, and they'll all kind of get together over in Cal Lutheran. Although I think they're going to spend the administrative staff is still going to spend most of their time in Agoura Hills during the season.
And of course, NFL draft is coming up here in a couple of weeks, and all kinds of speculation now about what the Rams may do. They've got the 15th pick in the draft. It is kind of a three quarterback in the first round sort of draft. Carson Wentz and Jared Goff are the two top quarterbacks. And then kind of the next tier is Paxton Lynch. It's almost, in order to get Goff, and a lot of people think Carson Wentz, the Browns are going to take, in order to get Goff, they would have to trade up to 6, and people are sort of eyeing that Baltimore pick. What are the odds that the Rams trade up in order to draft a quarterback like Goff?
Well, I think they're very, very interested in that. The Rams essentially are looking at this draft as there's two day one starters, and that's Goff and Wentz, as you mentioned. I think that Paxton Lynch is further down on their list. They see him as a guy that, you know, it's going to take a couple of years, if that, to be able to make the transition from the type of offense that he was in college to an NFL offense. So you're right. And the problem is because the 49ers are picking number 7 and the Eagles are picking number 8, and those two teams seem to be along the same lines as the Rams. They need quarterbacks. They're going to have to move up. The Rams would have to move up. And here's another tricky part of that equation is the Cowboys. They picked number 4, and, you know, they have Tony Romo, but as we all know, Tony Romo has been just a liability, an injury risk for the last few years, including most of last year. So if you're the Cowboys, you start looking at your long-range quarterback future and maybe draft, Tony Romo's heir apparent with that 4th pick, because they really do like Goff as well. So that's going to be interesting to see what the Cowboys do. If they don't draft a quarterback and go with a Miles Jack, somebody like that, then I think on draft night, you'll see the Rams get pretty aggressive. The problem is, again, the Niners know that they're going to be aggressive. The Eagles know that they're going to be aggressive. So maybe they want to move up the 2 spots or so to get to Baltimore's pick. So we're going to have to wait and see. But those are the quarterbacks that they like most in the draft, and they understand that to get them, they're going to have to trade up for them.
Vinny, is there any chance that they, you know, just say, okay, we're going to go with Case Keenum and maybe even move down to try to get some more picks in the draft?
I think the more likely scenario, if they can't get to number six, is use that 15th pick for a wide receiver, although you can never discount defense, especially with Jeff Fisher and their defensive coordinator, Greg Williams. But if, let's say they draft a wide receiver at number 15. You still have two second-round picks that you can use and have the luxury of using at least one of them to move back up into the first round. I think a guy that interests them big time is Connor Cook. And he's the guy that, you know, a month ago you would be looking at as a second-round pick. But now that Brock Osweiler left the Denver Broncos, obviously Peyton Manning retired, you got to figure the Broncos at number 31 are going to start thinking about a quarterback as well. So to ensure that you're going to be able to get a shot at Connor Cook, you might have to move back in the first round. The good news for the Rams is they have the ammunition to be able to do that. So I think a more likely scenario is holding firm at 15. If they, you know, ruling out a trade, let's say, staying at 15, getting the wide receiver, and then possibly moving back into the first round to get your quarterback in Connor Cook.
Yeah, Connor Cook, it's interesting because Connor Cook comes from that Michigan State program, and that's where Kirk Cousins came from. You know, same system, and Kirk Cousins has really kind of blossomed into a top-tier quarterback in the NFL, so maybe they're trying to capture some of that magic. On the wide receiver side, it looks like the consensus best wide receiver in the draft is Laquon Treadwell from Mississippi. Now, the catch is, apparently he didn't run the 40 at the combine. Do you think he would be the number one target at wide receiver potentially at 15? And does it hurt him that he didn't run at the combine?
Well, not only did he not run at the combine, he did run at his pro day about a week ago or so and ran a 4.6 40. Which obviously for a wide receiver, that's definitely not speed burner. So he may have fallen on some draft boards as a result of that. I like him a lot, and I don't think that I wouldn't be so worried about the speed. He's not a speed guy. What he is a big target who runs great routes and catches everything. And if you're the Ram and you need somebody that could get you big chunks of yards, be a great target in the red zone, a reliable pass route runner, somebody that your quarterback, whoever it is, whether, you know, it's Case or a younger quarterback, can really be able to lean on. I think he's the best wide receiver in the draft. And if they don't trade up for Goff, I would circle that name, at number 15 because he'd be a great fit for them.
Yeah. Will Fuller's another name up there too. He's more of a speed guy. It'll be interesting to see if anyone goes before any of those wide receivers go before 15 or if the Rams will have the pick of whatever wide receiver they want if they go in that direction.
I think there's a good likelihood that they will, which is, again, if you don't trade up, then you're going to have your pick of the top wide receivers. And we all know that, you know, if you're going to say quarterback is 1A need, then wide receiver, a top flight wide receiver, is 1B. So you're going to get great value at 15 at wide receiver.
You know, as you start to look around the NFL, it seems like right now, you know, it's a copycat league and everybody looks at the Broncos and they see that the Broncos won with sort of let's face it, that was not the real Peyton Manning that they won with. That was a weak copy of the real Manning. So it was really a game manager situation and they won based on defense. Jeff Fisher, defensive guys. You know, defensive minded, and around the league, everybody's sort of placing a premium on defense. If they go defense at 15, do you have a sense at who they might look at?
Well, there's a lot of great, pass rushers, in this draft. So, and they're always on the lookout for that. That's a staple of a Greg Williams, defense. So one of the defensive ends is a guy that they could look at. They also, you know, could look at linebacker. Reggie Ragland from Alabama is a guy that, you know, he fits the Greg Williams mold in that he's versatile. He can play him inside. He can play him. He's just a playmaker. So that's what Greg just really thrives on is just taking guys, and putting them in, you know, almost unlikely, you know, positions or situations, or utilizing them the way other people would have never thought. Like Mark Barron, the guy that they got from Tampa Bay, who was a washout with the Buccaneers as a first round pick, came in as a safety, and lo and behold, Greg Williams gets a hold of him, and he's playing, you know, outside linebacker and leading the team in tackles. So they really rely on their coaching. They really rely on their development, and they truly believe that they have a system in place that can take guys and make them very, very productive defensive players. So you can never rule out, again, using defense. I think a lot of Rams, using that 15th pick for defense, I think a lot of Rams fans would be upset because they understand, as we all do, that they need a quarterback and they need a wide receiver. They were 30th in points scored last year in the NFL. And they need to fix that. If they want to take that next step as an organization, they've got to fix that. So I wouldn't be shocked if they went defense, but I think there would be disappointment in that. They have to address the offense.
Hey, Vinny, one of the big topics with fans and, you know, the draft, everything's coming up and they want to know what's going on with the team, but kind of surprised me. There's a lot of, especially the old time Ram fans, they're worried about the uniforms. They want to see the old colors. I know there's been some developments there. Maybe you want to give an update on it.
Yeah, what's the latest on the unis?
Well, the latest on the unis is that don't expect any changes until 2019, I think, when the new stadium opens. I think that could they do it sooner? I think there's mechanisms in place where they can make that happen if they want it. But the way it's been explained to me, they're cognizant of, hey, L.A. Ram fans want the old L.A. colors back. They'll use them in a throwback fashion, but they're not going to make the official change over to the new uniforms until the new stadium opens in 2019. That's, everything is geared toward that right now. So unfortunately for the hundreds of Ram fans who hit me up on Twitter pretty much on a daily basis with color schemes and demands, we want the Rams to change their uniforms. Just be patient. It's going to happen. And I think that one of the good parts of it is that they're listening. The Rams are listening. They understand what the Rams fans want, and they're going to elicit their help and reach out and have them be a part of it. So one way or another, Rams fans are going to be heard in the uniforms. Unfortunately, it's not going to happen as soon as they want it to.
You know, not to be fixated on quarterback, but, you know, what are they going to do with Nick Foles?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I had a chance to talk to Les Snead, the Rams general manager. I was like, what happened to this guy? I mean, to me, he was a productive player. I loved him at Arizona, and you know, he had a really decent year, good year, basically, in Philadelphia. What happened to him? And he's like, look, you know, this is a kid who went from the spread offense in Arizona to Andy Reid's West Coast offense, and then all of a sudden that changed over to Chip Kelly's, you know, spread offense. Then he comes back to the Rams, and it's a whole new system for him. And, you know, his head was swimming, basically. He went through, what, four different schemes in four different years. So, you know, and there were a couple of games where big-time drops. There was one game, I think it was against the Redskins, where they would have probably had a guy just held onto the ball. They would have won 13-12. Yeah, that's not 30-12. That's not 28-12. But it's a win, and those look better on the ledger than losses. And his record would have looked a little bit better had he just gotten a little bit more help from his wide receivers. But that didn't happen, unfortunately, for Nick. And then Case came in and goes 3-1 down the stretch. I mean, he didn't win those games by himself, but at least he managed it. The way the Rams look at it is like, look, could we have gotten, go out and get a Ryan Fitzpatrick? Yeah, probably we could have done that. We could have maybe overpaid to get him. But what if Case Keenum is our Ryan Fitzpatrick? And what if 8 games into the season, we decide, you know what? We had a Fitzpatrick type here. His name is Case Keenum. Now we're going to have to go back to him 8 games into a season after the other guy flames out. So they just feel like Keenum can, you know, maintain, stabilize it, not necessarily win games, but at least make them competitive while they also simultaneously look for their long-range future.
You know,
as far as Nick, I'd be somewhat surprised if he's on the roster by training.
But aren't they stuck with his number, Vinny? I mean, he's got a big payroll. What are they? A big salary?
Yeah, but it's not. I think it's nine. I think it's $9 million, which they're already obligated to him, no matter what they do, whether they trade him or they've already paid him that money. It's already on their books. So, you know, there's no benefit to releasing him right now, and there's no downfall to holding on to him, you know, just in case things don't work out in the draft the way I'm sure they hope. So I think once the draft is finished, and then everyone else has a chance to see what their quarterback population looks at across the league after the draft. And say, you know what, we could use a Nick Foles on our team, and then you can trade him. And again, it's not going to cost you anything more or less. So they're just pretty much holding on to him, I'm sure, right now for insurance purposes, just in case things don't work out in the draft. And, of course, you also have Sean Mannion, who they drafted in the third round last year out of Oregon State. Unfortunately, as a third, or third quarterback on a team, you're not going to get many reps during the regular season because there's such limited practice time. So they don't really know exactly what they have in Sean Mannion, and they'd like to see. And I think the OTAs and training camp are going to be a good, platform for him to at least show them what do we have in the third round guy from last year.
Vinny, you mentioned the Rams winning three of the last four games, but a lot of it was defense, game management, defense running the football. I'm not sure that's going to work as well with the schedule that's coming up for the 2016 season. Maybe you want to talk about that. It looks pretty daunting right now.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, they have to play at the Jets, who were a borderline, playoff team last year up until the last game of the season. They have to play at New England against the Patriots, who we all know about them. They have to make a trip to Tampa Bay. They have to go to London to play the New York Giants. Obviously, they have to play the Cardinals twice. They were, a formidable team last year, the division winners. Seattle, you don't expect them to have another quote-unquote down year from the year that they had last year, even though they did make the playoffs.
Rams did beat them twice last year.
They did. They beat the Cardinals once in Arizona. So, there's something about that matchup that they like. But yeah, from a who they're playing standpoint, but a where they're playing them standpoint, it's a pretty difficult, schedule. And for longtime Ram fans, what's cool about this year's schedule is that they play the NFC South, which essentially makes up what used to be the NFC West back in the day. When the Rams left, they were still playing in the old NFC West, which was the Atlanta Falcons, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, not the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but the Saints. And those were teams, if you grew up in Los Angeles, there were so many times you woke up on a Sunday morning watching the Rams at New Orleans or at Atlanta. It's kind of weird that they were in the same division, considering the logistics of it all. But they do play them this year in that division, so the Saints will be hosting the Rams at in New Orleans, and the Falcons will be playing the Rams back at the Coliseum, which they played many times in the 70s and early 80s, or in the 70s at the Coliseum. So that's kind of a cool aspect of the way the schedule worked out.
Hey, Vinny, obviously Todd Gurley's your bell cow back, and he's going to get the bulk of the carries. I am never a big fan of a guy like DeMarco Murray. A couple of years ago, ran the ball 350 times or 360 times for the Cowboys. I think you kind of run a guy into the ground. The backup running back for the Rams has been a guy named Trey Mason, and he had a really bad incident. He was arrested for many things. suspicion of possession of marijuana, reckless driving, failure to register a motor vehicle, resisting arrest, and back in March, he also got tased during the incident. Have the Rams made a decision about whether or not they're going to bring Trey Mason to camp? What's their investigation like? Because he really is the secondary back for the Rams. He ran for 700 yards in 2014.
Yeah, not only is he the second back, but not only as far as all that, those issues that you just talked about, which were, horrible, and he's embarrassed about it. From what Jeff Fisher said, it was really out of character for him. So there's a lot of disappointment surrounding that on both ends. But he also had a terrible year last year. He just lost his way. A lot of it, I'm sure, had to do with Todd Gurley coming in and taking the job and being that number one back. Trey just never really, fit in, basically, or found a way to fit in. So he's kind of battling just from a roster standpoint of being, still a viable relative player. And then, of course, to have this happen. But yeah, he's expected to be at OTA. They really need him to have a productive offseason. And he's one of the players that they're really going to keep an eye on for various reasons this offseason. But, the legal ramifications aside, they need to see that he's committed. They want to make sure that he's here when he's supposed to be here and producing, working out, being a student of the game, because it's a huge year for him, for a lot of different reasons. But I also wouldn't be surprised if in the draft, they try to, address that, because they don't know what they have in Trey Mason right now. He's a big unknown for a lot of reasons. So they may protect themselves a little bit more by, you know, using a draft pick to bring in somebody that they can count on.
Hey, Vinny, last thing for me, just wanted to talk about the situation, in Los Angeles as far as the second team goes. I was following your Twitter feed, and it looked like there's some weird, like, April Fool's joke with the Oakland fans or something, what was going on. But just wanted to kind of see what's going on with the Chargers and the Raiders right now. What's the latest you've heard?
Well, the Chargers, I talked to Dean Spanos in Florida, and he's like, look, you know, I got my guaranteed seat in Los Angeles on the LA plane. It might be a coach seat, but it's a guaranteed confirmed seat nonetheless. And now we can drop all the, you know, positioning and the anger and the heated words and everything that we had to do, to secure that spot. And now turn our attentions to San Diego and hope that it works. Now he's going to get clarity one way or another. There's going to be a vote, whether it's for the downtown project or Mission Valley. There's going to be a vote in November, and it's essentially in the people's hands now. If it works, great. That's where he wants to be. But if not, you know, he's got a spot in Los Angeles that he can turn to. As for the Raiders, yeah, that was Oakland personality reporter. I don't even know what you want to call him, but he tweeted out on Friday that there was going to be a big announcement on Monday that, Mayor Libby Schaaf was going to have a huge announcement about the Raiders stadium situation, which was complete bunk. And then he later claimed that it was an April Fool's joke. So the problem is it got a lot of fans' hopes up in Oakland, needlessly, because there's nothing going on in Oakland. And if you're the Raiders, basically you're just waiting for the Chargers to make their move. But you also have an eye, a very curious and interested eye on Las Vegas, which is plodding along and moving along towards securing a stadium deal there near the campus of UNLV. The Raiders are very, very excited about that possibility. But they just have to play the waiting game for that to play out, and then also for the Chargers situation to play out.
All right, Vinny, you know I spend a lot of time on TMZ. I don't really. But but I did come across this. Johnny Manziel was with Justin Bieber the other night, not making this up, outside a club in L.A., and he was pumping up Todd Gurley and said he would love to play for the Rams. Now, this seems, you know, on the surface to be ridiculous. At one point, though, some people thought that the Rams might have medium interest in Johnny Manziel. Is there any chance? I mean, he's not going to go anywhere else. Do you think they would consider even bringing him to camp? He's right here in L.A.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. I mean,
come on, Vinny, it'd be so much fun.
That
come
would be
on,
awesome.
let's get Johnny football.
For our purposes, it would be great. but can you just imagine, you know, Johnny Manziel on Hard Knocks? You know, they're going to the Rams.
Oh, wow, that would
Hard
be
Knocks.
Crazy. Yeah,
that would be just opening up a huge can of worms. And I don't think the Rams want that in their first year back in Los Angeles. You know. He just needs to get his life in order. It doesn't appear like he's really all that interested in doing that. But I guess, you know,
wait a minute. He was hanging with that straight air Justin Bieber the other night.
Yeah, exactly. That was weird, by the way. Yeah, I mean, it just seems like Johnny Manziel is a guy who is cool with his life. It seems like a lot of fun, to be honest with you. But I don't know how much room there is for football in a lifestyle like that. I think that football seems to be pretty far down on his priority list. Having fun and being a 20-something-year-old kid with a lot of money is number one for him. And until he changes that outlook, which is, look, there's nothing really wrong with that. I mean, he's got the money. That's what he wants to do. You know, more power to him as long as he keeps it safe. But from an NFL's perspective, that's not ideal at all. That's not what they want to be seeing from him. The last thing, if you're Johnny Manziel trying to put together a resume to get back into it, you don't want to be on TMZ outside of a club with Justin Bieber. That's just, it's a bad look.
Wait a minute,
right there.
There's nothing wrong with him.
There is nothing wrong with him. And for him, that's perfect for Justin. But
I love entertaining premises, but that is a stupid one. The Rams absolutely should not invite Johnny Manziel to camp. I just thought I'd throw it out there for fun. Hey, listen, Vinny, we will continue to read you in the LA Daily News. Your Twitter handle is?
At Daily News Vinny.
At Daily News Vinny for all the latest on the Rams. Vinny is covering them inside out. Ryan Abraham, a co-host here, is at Inside Troy on Twitter. And I am at Steve Mason, ESPN. You can check in with us every week, the Ramble On podcast. And don't forget about LARamsReport.com for all of the latest. Vinny, Ryan, thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys. Enjoyed it.
Thank you, Vinny.
And there's your Ramble On podcast for this week.